road again. Hello, friends and family, and welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, live from Detroit. I'm on the road. On the road again. Rode a Vespa with a Marxist. Saw a wild dog chewing on a baby corpse. And someone gave me pot cookies and an Aleister Crowley painting. On the road again. My legs are itching from the day's end. On the road again. I'm pretty sure that I have lice and scabies. Scabies. But I don't care about the scabies. And I don't care about the disgusting, dilapidated Detroit days in with the wild dogs wandering through the parking lot and the stench of mold and old cum rising up from every square foot. Because it's fun out here. And also really intense and kind of horrific and dangerous. I've never been out on the road this long. And I know some people do this, you know, three weeks out of a year, 4 weeks out of a year. I've never done 2 weeks straight on the road, staying at different places every night and performing at different places every night. So I never really got a taste of that until now, and I've absolutely enjoyed it. And it's been really cool to meet a lot of you who came to the shows. That has been my favorite part of the whole thing, in fact, which is actually getting to bring our meat bodies together and say hello. That's quite exciting. And then there's a lot of other cool things about traveling. I mean, you feel like a gypsy. It teaches you this weird idea, which is that you really can't go anywhere. No matter where you travel geographically, you're still the same person inside. It's that old, I think it's an AA saying, which is if an asshole gets onto a plane in Los Angeles and asshole gets out of the plane in New York, you really see how whatever mental state that you're carrying around with you supersedes the geography of the place that you're at. And in fact, whatever mental state you're carrying around with you, it becomes projected out onto the world around you, and you just end up seeing a reflection of whatever mood you happen to be in or whatever your internal identity mechanism happens to be, depending on where you're at. So you end up seeing things that are maybe not so much related to what's happening outside of you, but related to what you're looking to find in the world, which is one of the great mysteries, which is that if you want to find something, you will find it in the world. If you want to find a dismal, lonely, broken, ruined country, then you will find that by traveling around the world, or the United States in particular. If you want to find a place where people seem beaten down and tired and scared and weirded out, then you'll find that in the current version of the United States that we happen to be living in. But if you want to find a place where people aren't letting themselves get beaten down by the dilapidated society that they happen to be existing in, then you can find that too. And if you want to find a place where people are actually filled with a kind of fascinating hope in the face of what the media would like you to think is a depression or a recession or a world in chaos where the banks are being downgraded and economies are on the brink of collapsing, you find that too. It's really fascinating. Wherever you want to look, you'll find the best and the worst. And after a while of traveling from place to place, suddenly you realize that you're not traveling at all, that you've been in the same place forever. You've always just been this eternal formlessness that is surrounded by the swirl of atoms and molecules and the changing news stories and ideas of the day, but you've just always been here sort of making it all happen. You've always been here just watching the whole thing. And that's a pretty fun thing to realize. It's also fun because you can drink a lot of beer out here on the road, which is also a blast and a bit dangerous. It's really, it's touring around like this, you really have to get disciplined because it is so easy to get into party mode every single night. And I've turned into quite a bad boy. I've been smoking cigarettes and drinking beers and eating pot cookies, which was really fun. But you can't keep doing it. You have to stop the momentum. That's the problem with these patterns. You know, I often feel like a toddler trying to drive a Greyhound bus that has a bad braking mechanism and a shitty steering wheel that drifts too much. It's really easy for me to drive the bus right off the road, barreling down through playgrounds, running over children and dogs and playground equipment, and blasting through a fence into a government facility that's testing some new weaponized bubonic plague, and breaking through that and spreading plague through the streets from the back of my bus that I can't control as I go tearing into the deepest levels of indulgent self-destruction. It's really easy to do. So, fortunately, I'm at the end of this two-week tour, and I won't be going out on the road for another month or so, but I am planning a big tour, which is coming up, and also I'm going to be recording my first comedy album at the Laughing Skull in Atlanta on December 21st, 2012, and I hope that you guys will figure out a way to come out to that, because that's going to be a really fun night, and I'm really excited about it. One way or another, that's going to be a really fun night. It's either going to be fun because it's going to be exciting for me to record my album, or it's going to be fun because the entire universe is going to collapse into a singularity and we're all going to become part of a universal consciousness that is no longer broken up into individual pixelated human forms and is one giant orgasmic blast of pure love energy. So that's going to be a fun night. And I'm very sorry for not getting a new podcast out, and I'm sorry for this half-baked podcast that I'm going to put up. I just haven't had time to interview anybody or have a guest. I was going to have somebody take me down to the ruins of Detroit today, but I ended up waking up just super tired and spent the entire day in a kind of television coma watching the freakishness of daytime TV. Whoa, what a fucking crazy swirl of dumbasses it is. Really fun to watch, though. Lots of really ridiculous things happening. And I found myself going back to Fox News again and again and again and just watching the... It's really weird. They call them contributors, I think. They're these just random people. They don't even bother saying what their level of expertise is anymore. It used to be on Fox News that they would at least say that this person was a professor or some kind of economic advisor in some big company, but now they're just called contributors, and they are just like hot stripper types that have obviously been sucking Rupert Murdoch's reptilian cock in the dark black tower that he lives in the middle of hell, and after a certain period of months of slurping away at his horrible, scaled, throbbing member filled with black semen, after drinking his vile satanic cum for a period of weeks or months and filling their disgusting stomachs with his demonic seed, he allows them to take the hell elevator up out of hell through a crack that I think must be in the North Pole, where they're picked up by military helicopters and flown to Fox News and put in front of a camera, and from there on out they just talk shit about Obama and make us all feel like the world's gonna end. It's crazy. They don't even say what they're expert. What's the expertise of these people? And I don't just mean the women either. I'm also talking about the obvious freakish, grotesque zombie men that blather on and on in that network about the evils of our government and the collapse of society as we know it, just fanning the flames of the apocalypse, gleefully fanning the flames of the apocalypse, and ignoring their own obvious satanic energy. And I know this thing with Obama. I don't know if you guys, how many of you follow the news, but Obama claimed something called executive privilege over a idiotically named operation called the Fast and the Furious, which is where a bunch of dumbasses decided to sell guns to Mexican drug lords that had GPS devices inside of them to try to trace where the guns went to. And one of those guns took down a border patrol person. But what nobody's talking about in this entire operation Fast and Furious is that if we would just decriminalize drugs, there wouldn't be Mexican drug lords. There would just be business people on the other side of the border, and all the gun running nonsense would stop. That's what they don't want to acknowledge. That's the thing you won't hear Fox News say, and it's the thing you won't hear Obama say, and it's the thing you don't ever hear anybody say, is that the problem that they're trying to fight there at the border to take down these deadly drug lords, the problem they're trying to fight is a problem that they created by creating a prohibition on substances that allow us access to different states of consciousness. Not all of them good, not all of them healthy, and some of them will ruin and destroy your life, but you get to decide if you want to do that. You're driving the giant Greyhound bus down the road and through the field and through the playground and into the bioweapons factory. And if you want to destroy your life and take some lives out with you, there's already laws in place to handle that. And if they would just decriminalize drugs, then this entire operation Fast and the Furious, it wouldn't happen. And it would be a real awesome punch in the stomach to all the loons over there in Mexico who have been decapitating reporters and who have transformed in the environment and in the cruel environment that's created by drug prohibition. They've turned into warlords. So you could easily pull the plug on the whole thing by decriminalizing drugs, creating education programs so people could learn how to properly use drugs, how to avoid drugs. The jails would clear out of nonviolent drug offenders, and we would be living in a more interesting society. And also, the economy would probably start doing a little better than it is right now. Either that or everything would go up in flames because we'd all be in the basements of our homes snorting crystal meth and stabbing puppies in the eyes with hot coat hangers and shaking our fists at hallucinatory demons peering in our windows at us. But I'm sure you can relate to me when I say that that dramatic state of drug-addled lunacy sometimes seems preferable to the sedated, bored state of being stuck in a 2-hour commute heading towards a job that you don't even like that much. And I'm not saying it's better that you should go and try to obtain crystal meth or cocaine from a Mexican drug lord. I'm just pointing out that the type of life that modern day capitalism has to offer humanity is sometimes sometimes Japanese water torture. You get this incredible sense of claustrophobia that as you realize that you are confined to a life that you didn't really intend to get into, and that you're not really sure that you can get out of. But you can definitely, definitely, definitely escape from whatever weird trap that you're in. I've been reading this Chogyam Trungpa book, which is fucking amazing. The book is titled Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism, and I've been reading it for a while, just sort of picking it up and then putting it back down and trying to assimilate all the things he's saying. But it's a really awesome breakdown of the way we sort of project our own reality into formlessness, and that's the cause of all our suffering. And he recommends something that I've also heard Pema Chodron recommend, and I've probably talked about it before. He recommends something called the pause, which is really simple, because when you start understanding that you're trapped in whatever your situation happens to be, whether the situation is a shitty job, a bad relationship, or whether it's not an external situation, whether maybe it's an internal situation. Maybe there's a you can't seem to get out of an internal anxiety state. A lot of people are living every single moment in a state of low-level anxiety, which sometimes spikes and becomes high-level anxiety, and for some people turns into full-fledged anxiety attacks where they think they're having heart attacks. Maybe it's an internal state that you can't get out of, or maybe it's something's eating at you because you want something that you can't have. Maybe you want to be famous, or you want to be rich, or you want, I don't know, you want something that you've always dreamed about since you were a kid, and the desire for the thing is taking away all your happiness in the present moment. This is actually something Chogyam Trungpa talks about. He says that if you analyze the state of passionately wanting something, of really having something that you want more than anything, you might realize that you're actually addicted to the state of not having. And you'll find that anytime that you start getting the things that you want, you quickly realize that getting the thing only creates a little momentary bump, like a tiny little ecstasy high that lasts for a short time and soon fades away. And you realize you've become addicted to the hunger. It's not the thing you want at all. You just want to live in that constant state of wanting something because that's what you've become familiar with. But anyway, all these different crazy mind states or external situations that we find ourselves trapped in, from the most extreme, for example, having a body that has a disease that maybe has cancer and is locked in a struggle for survival, or to the, you know, mental states, such as just being bored or horny or whatever, he recommends this thing called the pause, which is that you stop. It's quite obvious. You just stop for a second. And it doesn't have to be long, but just whatever it is that you are going to do next after you listen to this, just take a few moments, 5 minutes, 1 minute, 3 minutes, just take a few moments to not do anything. Just sit still. Don't meditate or chant or do some esoteric thing. Just stop. Just stop for a second. And this is really cool. I was talking with someone about this after a show because I realized that this is exactly, this is identical to those awesome videos that you see on the internet where people have taken their dryers and place them in their yard. There's a video of a guy who took a dryer. I'll put it on the comments section of this. There's a person who took a dryer out into his yard and threw a brick into it and turned it on with a brick. And so, you know, a dryer is just a centrifuge, basically. It's just this thing whirling around really fast, and having a brick inside of it creates this violent reaction where it causes an imbalance in the thing, and basically that brick destroys the poor thing. And somehow this video, I don't know if you'll relate, maybe I was just super stoned, but I felt sorry for the dryer to watch it get ripped to shreds by this brick that was just, that's flying around inside of it. It's really violent and beautiful and incredible to watch this thing get destroyed by its imbalance. But that reminded me of the ego states that we all get in. And the pause is, if you've constantly been in a state of doing, which most of us have for our whole lives, you're always going from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And even if some of those things are laying down for a nap or relaxing and watching TV or whatever, you're still doing something. You're still engaged in consuming something, taking things in, relaxing, just doing. So if you throw into this momentum that you have, if you begin to throw in moments of not doing, even if those moments are just not that long at all, then it begins to create an imbalance in the habituation mechanism that you've gotten locked into. And I think if you were to do it enough, then you might find yourself in a different mind state, you know? So what that means is if you're addicted to drinking, then before you have your next drink, take a 3-minute break and just don't do anything. And if you're addicted to masturbating to pornography, then the next time you're about to do that, take a little break before you do it. If you're a pyromaniac and you've gotten hooked on throwing Molotov cocktails into the windows of orphanages, then before you're going to do that awful thing, which you shouldn't be doing, take a break. Just take a break, everybody. Sit down for a second and stop doing stuff. Always doing things. We're these tendrils of the earth that have formed into meat, and they're having these seizures of action where we're desperately trying to rearrange everything around us to conform to whatever our desires are, which is fun. But take a little break. Make sure you're actually having fun doing that. Because if inside you feel like somebody climbed into your heart and put a cigar out right in your heart chakra and then pissed on that the oily, burnt black cigar burn, and then started poking it with needles and so that it became infected and filled with hell maggots that at every moment are screaming into your subconscious what a horrible person you are and how terrible life is, then maybe you should stop for a second and deal with that. Because that's no fun. Nobody wants to have hell maggots festering inside the black and burnt cigar patch that was placed there by themselves. You want your heart to be filled with beautiful breasts or beautiful flowers or whatever you like, or both, a combination of it all. I'm just thinking about what I would like in there. I'm sure you guys have your puppies, Reddit, whatever it is that you want inside your heart instead of the aching freak show that so many of us are lumbering around with. So there's my little road sermon, and forgive me for proselytizing if that's what it sounded like, but I don't really know I don't know how to do one of these podcasts where it's just me yapping. It feels weird. I'm sitting in this hotel room talking into my computer. I got to get ready for my show now, and I'm sorry again that I didn't have a longer episode for you guys. Next week, we're going to get back to usual again. I'll try to get up to 2 episodes a week. I love you guys very much. It's been incredible to meet you all out there on the road and moving and inspirational. And I don't really have a good way to articulate how overwhelming it's been to talk to some of you guys about the podcast and about the way that we have connected through this strange new medium that we currently are calling podcasts. It's been incredible. I guess that's it. I gotta go. I got a show tonight, and I'm performing tomorrow night too. I'm in Detroit at the Comedy Castle, so that'll be on my website. If you guys want to come out, I'd love to see you. And as always, we are sponsored by Sure Design T-shirts. Go to suredesignt-shirts.com. Some of you have been coming to the shows dressed in Sure Design t-shirts, which is really cool because they really are so very soft. And why are they soft? They're soft because they are woven from... I was wrong the entire time. I thought it was the back of nuns' knees. I also thought it was the pleasure extraction from the inner core of puppy dog brains. But as it turns out, that's not what they're made out of at all. Currently, Sure Design T-shirts has been woven from Julian Assange's pubic shavings. The guy's got the softest pubic hair of any modern-day hero. He's got, I don't know what it is, they say he washes his pubic hair with the blood of martyrs and patriots, and somehow that softens it. I don't know. I guess he's got a giant bush because he sends bushels of his pubic hair to the Sure Design T-shirt company in Thailand, and they weave that together while playing the sound of our forefathers weeping that Julian Assange is being persecuted instead of being placed on a pedestal as one of our nation's great heroes. But anyway, they're great shirts. So go to shirtdesignt-shirts.com and go to duncantrussell.com. For God's sakes, go on the forum if you haven't done that yet and say hello and post some stuff and go to the shop. We really, truly, I know I always say this, but we really are almost out of chaos posters. They're almost gone, forever, gone. That's it, done. 666 of them out into the world. So if you've been putting off buying one of these incredible things, go and buy one now. Get one of our t-shirts. They're coming in from Thailand and will be here, I don't know, should be here next week. So buy a t-shirt, donate if you like this podcast. And if you don't feel like donating your green energy, you can always go to audibletrial.com/family hour and sign up for a free trial, and they give me $15, which is awesome. So go do that. Download The Dark Tower. Also, I've heard that they've got DMT, The Spirit Molecule, is it? Audible.com is an audiobook. It's a great way to... It's one of the greatest tools for exercising and getting you on the treadmill or walking your dog. And it's also fun to get baked and listen to these podcasts because they're read by really great voice actors, especially The Dark Tower. I know I always go on and on about this, but my God, it's so good. I'm almost done with The Wastelands right now, and it's been holding me in a nirvanic hypnosis for the length of this tour. So go check that out. And I love you all, and I hope that you're doing great out there in the very beginning weeks of summer, because it's going to be one of the greatest summers that humankind has ever experienced. Or it's just going to be a normal summer, but regardless, you get to decide what this summer is going to be like. So get on your water wings, put on some bikini briefs, put lipstick around your nipples, go down to the beach, have a swim, go to a local pool, dress like a scarecrow, climb over the fence, and scream at the children. Whatever makes you happy. I love you all very much. Next week, we'll get back to normal with normal releases of this podcast. Hare Krishna. Namaste. God bless you. Sweet dreams. Be kind to each other. Get your cocks hard, pussies wet. Make beautiful babies if you are wanting to be a parent. If not, please wear condoms, use birth control, take 10% of your income and use that to make your friends happy. Enjoy fine beers. Don't drink shitty Miller Lights. Drink wonderful wines, oysters. Have oysters. I love them. They're great. Dance with your grandmother. Rub unicorns on their horns. Go to a glory hole and suck off a trucker. Dance with a giant raven. Paint your face with multicolored day glow colors and go to an orgy. Enjoy the taste of your own semen if you've never tasted it before. Shake hands with the president and bow down to the force of love which animates us all. I bid you adieu. Until next time, Hare Krishna. And come to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle and say hello to me if tomorrow. Okay, bye. Love you, bye. Now enjoy Everything's All Right from the amazing Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, which is available on iTunes. Bye.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right, yes, everything's all right, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you. Your eyes, close your eyes.
saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be more always pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me. Move while you still see me. You'll be lost. You'll be so, so, oh, 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 me when I'm gone.
Sleep and I shall soon be coming with a mansion map for your unfortunate hour. And you feel everything's all right. Yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet.